TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Badlands podcast, the only podcast out there that is 100% chiseled and is proudly part of the Chair Shop Radio Network. I am Mags, and unfortunately today I have no tag team partner. Paul is unable to be here, but it's him who's missing out because I have got the most amazing guest with me today. She is literally one of the shining lights in wrestling Twitter, and it's so good that I've finally been able to pin her down and get her onto the show. Today I'm speaking with the one and only Super Kicking It with Kelsey. Kelsey, how are you today, ma'am?
I am so good. I'm so happy to be joining you. And man, I'm super flattered. I'm doing even better after your intro. That's like the stuff anyone's ever said about me. Thank you.
It's absolutely not a problem. I've enjoyed your content for such a long, long time. It's so good to see you being such a huge success. And I'm just glad to be able to spend this time to talk to you. It's not often you get to speak to the people who you really respect and admire on wrestling Twitter. So yeah, I'm just glad that you're able to do the show.
I am so glad too, and I told you before we started, thank you so much for hanging with me and dealing with me having to postpone, because we've had this planned for so long, it feels like, and I really respect everything you do. You're such a shining light in the wrestling community, especially on Twitter. Everyone loves you. We all have such great things to say about you, so it's honestly an honor to finally get this scheduled, and I can't believe it's actually happened, and I'm really excited.
That's really, really sweet of you to say, and
it's true.
It's the laugh of a podcaster from the sunny Isles of Britain, when the majority of wrestling Twitter is from North America. It can be hard to schedule times. I mean, there's been like instances where I've had to record at like 1 o'clock in the morning hour time because we've the guests the time zones, but. I do it because I love doing it and I love talking to other wrestling fans and it's absolutely no exception with yourself.
Thank you so much, seriously. You're flattering too much.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
So, as you have never appeared on Badlands before, Kelsey, what we'd like to do is get your Mount Rushmore of the greatest wrestlers of all time so that Paul can add them to the collated Mount Rushmore, which he calls Tolly's Tallies. So, who are your four greatest wrestlers of all time, and a little bit of an explanation of why each one of them stands out to you?
So, you know, it's hard to pick four. It really is. When you're talking about all time, it's like one of the most difficult things to narrow it down to four people, but I tried. And I feel like, you know, two of my picks are kind of standard, but it's like I'd be remiss if I didn't say them. So I'll go right off and say, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin. When I first got into wrestling, and I got into it a lot later than most people, I got into it in my early 20s, really actually my mid-20s. It feels like a lot longer ago, but it really wasn't in terms of amount of years. It was just a few years ago, really. And so I watched a Netflix documentary about the 100 or 150, I can't remember, greatest superstars of all time. And this is right before the network launched, when Netflix still had wrestling documentaries. And they were counting down some superstars, and I saw I didn't even know what wrestling was. So this whole documentary was fascinating to me. But somebody that jumped out on the countdown was Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I was like, who is this guy? Like, he's so cool. He's so charismatic. He's so funny, because they showed, like, some of his best promos, like the what stuff. And of course, they showed a clip of his 316 promo. And I was just like, man, I don't know what this is, but I like it. And I like characters. Like, I'm a big movie person and TV person. So to me, it was like, it just kind of felt right up my alley in terms of the theatrics of it all. And he really had extreme theatrics. So he's got to be on my Mount Rushmore for sure, because he's one of the greatest of all time. I mean, you really, it would be weird to leave him off.
Absolutely, I totally agree. And if I remember rightly from the Mount Rushmore that we've got already, I think he may be having number one or number two on the list already. So you basically just confirmed what a lot of other people have already said.
Yeah, I figured he's probably on a lot of people's, but it's like it's for a reason. I mean, he you can't really argue he's one of the greatest of all time. And then I've got another one that I think is probably on the majority of people's Mount Rushmore. And that's, of course, Macho Man Randy Savage. Again, I kind of, especially like my all-time picks, some of them lean towards really over the top, really character driven, really theatrical. And I feel like Randy Savage, I mean, just the voice, the gear, everything about him is over the top and almost cartoonish, but in a good way. Like, if you said a wrestler was cartoonish today, it would be looked at as a bad thing. But mm-hmm. in his day and age, when he wrestled, it was a good thing. And it really helped him have a crossover appeal, I feel like. So to me, you can't leave him off either. It's really hard to have a Mount Rushmore without him.
Yeah, I agree. He hasn't had as many votes, which is quite shocking, really. But I think the thing that stands out with me about Macho Man, I mean, he was one of the guys when I first ever started watching wrestling. And it was obviously, he was very bright, and it was the intensity that he had. He brought this passion to wrestling. And it's only after like learning about him that you found out that he was so driven that he was almost a perfectionist when it came to wrestling, that he would go over a match by every single move instead of like calling in the ring.
Yeah, like WrestleMania 3. Like, you know, Steamboat has said so many times about how they went over that match over and over again. So mm-hmm. it's kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely. So that's another great pick. So who is third on your Mount Rushmore of the greatest wrestlers of all time?
Minoru Suzuki. I feel like, you know, he's my favorite currently, but he's also an all-time favorite. I really couldn't leave him off because he's got everything you could possibly want in a wrestler. He's got a great theme. He's got a great intensity. He's an amazing wrestler. And not only can he, like, really do well at being a professional wrestler and professional wrestling, but he's great at shoot wrestling. Obviously, he's got a history with helping to form Pancrase. Mm-hmm. I just think that's a big deal. And his evil laugh is like one of the greatest things of all time. And, you know, he's got all these things, but he actually has great promo skills too. Because even if he's cutting a promo in Japanese, as like an American watching, it doesn't even matter that I can't understand what he's saying. It's like his facial expressions and tone really convey what he's trying to say. And you just love whatever he says, even if you can't understand it. So all those things combined make him one of the greatest of all time. I remember the first Suzuki match that really captured me and brought me in was his G1 match against AJ Styles. I think it's from 2014. I can't remember the year exactly, but I believe that's correct. And I had really liked AJ Styles at that point. I didn't know who Suzuki was. Watched this match and I was like, who is this guy? He is flipping brutal. And I went and tried to find as many other matches with him as I could. And the more I watched of him, the more I loved him. And then the cool part was, so when I discovered him, he wasn't in New Japan at that time. But the year after, I think after I watched that match, he came back at New Year's Dash. And I was like, what the hell? My boy is back in Japan. So I started watching him regularly after that. And I was like, oh my God, I love him so much. And him tagging with Zack Sabre Jr., that's a really great combo too. So he works well with other people. He works well as a faction leader. Mm-hmm. And he works well just as a badass murder grandpa. You really can't go wrong. I could go on for days about Suzuki and why I love him.
Yeah, I think that might be the first person who's voted for him. But yeah, when I came back into wrestling after being out for almost 10 years, it was New Japan that brought me back in, and he was one of the standouts. It was, for me, it was the crazy hairstyles where he'd shaved lines into his hair, and it was the intensity again with Macho Man, but a totally different level of intensity. This was someone who you would fully expect would murder you in your sleep. And it's interesting that he's got the nickname Murder Grandpa, because you would literally believe that he would murder you. And then you look on his social media profile, and the guy loves socks and coffee. It's just absolutely amazing. So yeah, great pick. So who rounds off your Mount Rushmore of the greatest wrestlers of all time?
Well, this is kind of cheating, I guess, but I feel like it'd be so weird if I left them off. One of the reasons why I love tag team wrestling, the Young Bucks. I mean, it is kind of cheating. It's 2-1, but tag teams go together, and to me, they count as one because they are so in sync. They might as well be one person. Nick and Matt Jackson together as one, the Young Bucks. I just feel like they are actually quite old school in their style of wrestling in a way, but also new school and innovative at the same time. So they're kind of mixing old with new. I say old school because, like, you look at a team like the Rockers, like, so in sync. Just really representative of what tag team wrestling means. When you really thought of tag teams as wearing matching gear, just flowing together perfectly, that's what the Young Bucks encapsulate today. So they take that old school mentality of tag team wrestling, bring it to today, but they amp it up with different moves and stuff. And I love a lot of things about them. They're over the top personas. You know, they get a lot of hate every now and then for being a little cheesy, but I kind of like them. That about them, because I don't know, I kind of like cartoonish and character driven stuff, and that's kind of them.
Yeah, and wrestling doesn't have to always be serious. If you can't have a fun in wrestling, then you kind of not being a wrestling fan properly. And the Young Bucks are if not anything, they are absolutely fun to watch. And you mentioned how innovative they were, some of the moves that they can pull off, and they're just so fluid and so crisp. And yeah, it is like an old school kind of tag team way of wrestling, but with that new school kind of high flying movesets. Yeah, so it's an absolutely great pick. And I think, again, you've got another debut pick. So looks like you've got two debut picks on your Mount Rushmores there, Kelsey.
Well, that makes me happy. I was hoping that, like, you know, my first two I knew people would have said, but I was like, I really couldn't leave off Suzuki and the Young Bucks just because they're such a part of me loving wrestling today. Like, they just play such a huge role in my love of wrestling. And that's why I think they deserve a spot on my Mount Rushmore, because, you know, everyone has their personal preferences, their personal favorites. And these guys, I feel proud saying that they're favorites, but I know that their work and careers are good enough to be considered some of the greats.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey everyone, it's your girl, the Queen of NE, and I'm so excited to tell you about my show, Queen's Court. It's an awesome, fun, super interactive podcast led by yours truly, bringing you some awesome interviews, some great collabs, and just enjoying discussing our beloved sport of wrestling. You can find me on Twitter at The Queen of Any, on Instagram at XTheQueenOfAny, and of course my podcast, Queen's Court, on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are out. I encourage you to come take a listen to something new, something fresh, and something that you can only have when you hold court with the Queen.
So let's go into the main topic now. The topic that we came up with was the Mount Rushmore of potential AEW signing. So that could be anybody in the wrestling world who may well end up working under the AEW banner. For me, I already knew the four people who I wanted to pick. I don't know how hard it was for you to nail your picks down.
Well, I got to tell you, I kind of cheated and did a WWE like if they were a release list and then a non-WWE list. So I did two lists, which is kind of cheating because it's like double. I feel like I can't assume that everyone in WWE or everyone or anyone is going to leave. So that's why I made two different lists, because I feel like the non-WWE people are more likely, but I still wanted to do like a dream far off scenario of just WWE people, like if they were possibly somehow some way to leave. So that's what I did. I made two lists.
That's absolutely fine. You can have both lists. It's perfectly okay. The way I've approached it was I looked at some people who are almost guaranteed to, in somewhere down the line, to go AEW. The signs are there that they are going to. But then I've also added a couple in that I think not only could fit the style of AEW, but are kind of like personal ones where I'd like them to have that kind of exposure to a bigger audience.
Right. So, that's a good way to put together the list for sure. I like that criteria.
So let's go with your first picks then on both your list. Who did you pick first?
All right. So on like the WWE list, I picked New Day. And the reason I picked them first is because they've had so many great kind of, it's not directly related storylines, but it's like nudge, nudge, wink, wink storylines between the New Day and the Young Bucks and being the Elite. If you ever watched the old episodes, there's so many references that the Bucks and Kenny Omega make to the New Day and how they were wearing their t-shirts at one point. They're gyrating their hips at one point in an old episode. And it was like playfully kind of joking that they want to face each other one day, because obviously they're both three-man tandems. So I just thought, man, I'd love to see the New Day in AEW so we could get that Elite versus New Day feud that I've been dying for years now.
Yeah, what an amazing feud that would be. I mean, we had hints of it at the Street Fighter tournament that Kenny
and... Yeah, the CEO stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And obviously they were talking like that they wanted to face each other one day. That would be awesome. I think for me, the New Day may be the epitome of WWE laughers. I don't think I could see them leaving WWE, but wow, what a great pick that would be if they ever did cross those battle lines.
It's like a dream scenario. I know it's unlikely, but it's like if I could have my way in the universe, like that would be one of my picks for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So who was on your non-WWE list?
Another tag team on my non-WWE list would be the Briscoes. And it's because, again, I want to see them face the Young Bucks in a non-ROH setting. Because, you know, I'm torn even saying them, because the Briscoes really... really almost represent Ring of Honor in a way. Mm-hmm. They were there since the beginning, and I don't want Ring of Honor to lose them. But at the same time, AEW seems like they're putting such an emphasis on tag team wrestling. And so with that being the case, the Briscoes to me are one of the best tag teams ever, and especially of right now in the current scene. So to me, why not have them have all these possibilities to face in the stacked AEW tag division, like Proud and Powerful versus Briscoes. Imagine that. That would be incredible. And of course, yeah, we've seen Briscoes and Young Bucks, but I'd love to see a rematch in AEW. Really, Briscoes versus anybody in AEW would be fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. And I've only really seen the Briscoe stuff over the last few years. Like I said, I was out of wrestling for about 10 years, and they to me do speak that they are Ring of Honor. They're what Ring of Honor stands for. And if Ring of Honor did lose them, I think that would be the death knell for that company, especially knowing all the bad stuff that's going around about Ring of Honor. But yeah, I mean, the Briscoes versus Private Party, the Briscoes versus like the Dark Order, the Briscoes versus Angelico and Jack Evans. Wow, some absolutely amazing matches there.
Yeah, and the cool thing about the Briscoes is I'm using them as one pick together, but I mean, technically you could break away Jay Briscoe. He used to wrestle singles all the time. Mm-hmm. So to me, you could use Jay Briscoe as a singles guy too. So it's like a 2-in-1. Yeah, it's a double powerful pick, I think.
Yep, absolutely. So for my first pick on my Mount Rushmore, now for context, we're recording this on the 7th of December, and this guy is currently probably the hottest free agent in wrestling today, but he has still got one event to go, and and there's not been any word on whether he's going to sign with AEW or whether he's going to make the jump to WWE. But I've gone for the villain, Marty Scurll. I can't not see him go to AEW. Obviously, he's part of the old Bullet Club group there and the Elite. He's still in the Being the Elite opening video. It still feels to me like he's part of that group, and he's just like, we're waiting for him to be able to come back into the fold. The only thing that kind of throws a spanner in the works is the fact that his significant other, Deonna Purrazzo, is in NXT. So he could easily go there to be with his partner. But I can't not see the villain, Marty Scurll, joining AEW and going back with his friends. And I think if he goes, I think then Flip Gordon goes as well, and we kind of get two amazing stars in AEW. So yeah, my first pick is the villain, Marty Scurll.
I think that's a wonderful pick, and I'm with you. I cannot see him not going to AEW. The only thing, like you said, his girlfriend's in NXT, and yes, he might be tempted to go over there, but I think if Britt Baker and Adam Cole are able to do their whole split promotion working but still be together, I think that Scurll can do it too. And it's just, he said so many times how much he loves the guys in the Elite and how he used to love hanging around with them. And I don't know, I just can't see him not wanting to hang around with his friends anymore.
Yeah,
that was such a big thing, you know?
I totally agree. And I think although his wrestling style would fit in very well with the NXT, with the finger manipulation and the kind of old school villain tactics that he has, he's working again with his crew, with his boys, and yeah, you could see that. I think he'd be happier in AEW.
I think so too, but I gotta say, if he did go to NXT, I would love to see Dunn versus him just to battle, like, who gets to use the finger snap, you know? Battle of the finger snaps. I think that would be pretty damn epic. So that'd be the one match I'd want to see the most if he went to NXT, but I'm hoping he does go to AEW.
Yep, same. So who is the second pick on your WWE Mount Rushmore of AEW signings?
It would have to be Sami Zayn on the WWE side, because he's doing great right now as Nakamura's mouthpiece. It's fun and funny, but he hasn't wrestled in a long time. And the cool thing is about Sami is that he's an amazing wrestler. To me, he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. Whenever somebody needs to have a good first match in WWE, it seems like they always paired them with Sami Zayn for whoever's first match. Like, if you look back at Nakamura's debut in NXT TakeOver a long time ago, who did he face? Sami Zayn. And that's one of my favorite matches ever, is Sami Zayn versus Nakamura. And now he's working with Nakamura on his side as his mouthpiece. And yeah, he's funny. He's over the top. He's zany, no pun intended. But I think that something about Sami that's really cool is he's one of the best baby faces around. I know he's a heel right now, but when he is a face, it's the most natural feeling face around, in my opinion. There's very few baby faces in wrestling that to me feel organic and natural, and Sami Zayn is one of them when he's a face. So to me, if he went to AEW, think of all the wonderful matches they'd be able to utilize his wrestling, not just his talking abilities, and they would have a great face with him. Like, they've got some good heels, but I think he could be like a top baby face for the entire company. Or if they wanted, they could just revert him back to El Generico. So either way, you've got so many options with Sami Zayn. I know it's unlikely. All my WWE picks are super unlikely that they'd ever leave, but it's like Sami would be utilized in the ring specifically a lot more if he did go.
Yeah, and looking at his work in PWG and then his work in NXT, it's quite sad that he's not getting the ring work and the time to shine on the main roster. When he was in NXT, he was absolutely on fire. He was the NXT champion. He was one of the best wrestlers in that company. And now he's as good as he is in the role he's got with Nakamura, it's a waste of someone with such a wrestling talent as Sami Zayn. So I think that would be a good move. I think he kind of is happy in the role he's got in WWE. Obviously, he's there with his best friend, Kevin Steen. But yeah, that I could see that that move happening, and I think we then get the Sami Zayn that we know and love, who is one of the, like I said, the best wrestlers in the world.
And the thing is, like, one of the things I think he's the most happy with in WWE is that he's able to do his Sammy for serious stuff, because mm-hmm. I know it's really important for him to give back, and he's such a good person.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important to him, and that probably is a huge factor about him staying around, because they, like, give him a lot of backing on that. I'm not saying AEW wouldn't. I'm just saying it's all set up, it's all ready to go, and he's really into doing that right now under the WWE banner.
Yeah, I agree. So who is the second one on your non-WWE Mount Rushmore of AEW potential signings?
So, you know, people keep talking about the AEW women's division. Some people have said it needs to be a lot more than what it is currently. I think they're making great progress, though. I think it's just a matter of time. I'm not worried, personally. I know a lot of people are worried. But I think anything you do, you've really got to just give it some time. Because even to me, the men's division, even, it's like they're single stars. You only have some well-known people at the top. Like, to me, Jericho, Cody, and a few others like Moxley, or and even Omega, they're your only top guys who are super recognizable to casual fans. So even the men's division needs more building up and more depth in terms of presenting it to the casual viewer who might just be learning who these guys are. So it's not just a women's division problem. I think both divisions, they need to build up the depth of each one. But specifically the women's division, they could use some really big names. And I think Tessa Blanchard would be a huge addition to the AEW women's roster. I mean, talk about an impact, no pun intended. I know she's in Impact, but she would make a huge impact right away. People would be like, oh my God, they're super serious about women's wrestling if they got Tessa Blanchard. So it would be a huge, huge get and signing for them. I know it's unlikely, but man, I would love to see that happen.
And another one, I when I get onto my second pick now, Tessa was one of the two that I was umming and ahhing about whether to put forward. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. She's probably the best women's wrestler in the world right now. The fact that she's even being considered to be going for the Impact World Championship shows how far not only women's wrestling has come, but how far Tessa as a star in this business has come. So Tessa Blanchard would make a massive impact. Going on to your thoughts about the women's division and the way that they're building up stars in AEW as a whole. My only real issue with it, and we've spoke about this on Twitter before, is that I don't think that with a weekly TV program that you should have to go out and have to research characters or wrestlers to find out more about them. I mean, we've had Rio as the women's champion there for quite a while now, and if you only relied on the AEW programming, you wouldn't know a lot about her apart from the fact that she's only 90 pounds. And it's only through the likes of knowing about Stardom and having JPQ to give us a bit of a backstory that you'd know about. And I think that's something that's going to improve with time with the program. And again, another thing that we mentioned is that I think they're focusing a little bit too much on the big names. Now, I understand that you have to do that at the beginning of a show because you want to get as many casual viewers in as possible. But I think that 9 weeks is enough time to maybe kind of build up some new talent. Some of these, I mean, the talent that they've got there is absolutely stunning. They've got some of the best wrestlers in the world, but we just don't know enough about them.
Yes, 100% yes.
But yeah, Tessa Blanchard is an absolutely stellar pick. And like I said, she was someone who I was umming and ahhing about picking. So I'll go straight into my second pick. And it's another female from that Impact roster. When I was looking at the AEW roster, I felt that it's kind of weighted towards like the heels. If you think about like the big strong heels, you've got like Nyla Rose and you've got Awesome Kong, and then a lot of the faces are kind of smaller, slight, kind of quicker wrestlers. So I felt that someone like Jordynne Grace coming in and being like that kind of match up to someone like Awesome Kong, or that match up to someone like Nyla Rose, where they can, she can match them for power, but also be that kind of face character that that can stand up to these women. I think she's an absolutely amazing wrestler, an amazing talent, and her social media game is absolutely on point. I think she would make a worthy addition to not just AEW's roster, to anybody's roster. And it's actually quite surprising that she's not gone to a bigger company than Impact before now.
I have to agree with you 1,000%. And the funny thing is, spoiler, the third person on my non-WWE list was Jordynne Grace. And I picked two women on the non-WWE list because I feel like those two women, Tessa and Jordynne, would be such a huge addition for AEW. And the good thing about both of them is we've seen that they can really do well in intergender wrestling. And to me, I feel like that would really do well in AEW. Like, they can go against some of the top guys and hold their own, especially Jordynne Grace. I think she's so amazing. Like you said, they would be lucky to nab her. And yeah, you know, she has signed with Impact. I don't remember how long her deal is, but she signed not that long ago. So she's going to be there for a little while longer. And I know she loves working with Tessa Blanchard. So that's why I kind of put them both on my Mount Rushmore on the non-WWE list. I just think AEW, their women's division would be leaps and bounds ahead of where it is with the addition of them. I mean, it's still good and it's still growing and they still have amazing people on their roster right now. But these two people, these two women, they would just be such a strong extra bonus for what they're doing now.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, it was a toss-up between which two of them I was picking. If it wasn't for my other two picks, I would have probably put both of them on. So seeing as we've got your non-WWE third pick, who is your third pick for your WWE Mount Rushmore of AEW signings?
I know it's probably the most unlikely of all my picks, but Kevin Owens, formerly known as Kevin Steen. I mean, him and the Young Bucks go way back. They're best friends. But really, it's funny. So many people say that the Young Bucks are their best friends, but Kevin Owens used to say that all the time. The Bucks, they're my best friends. And they have had amazing promos in PWG specifically. I love that promo they cut in the elevator. You know, they call that the Mount Rushmore promo. So to me, they're incredible. Their friendship together, the three of them, they're incredible. And of course, Adam Cole was in that promo too, in the elevator back in PWG. But to see him reunite with his friends, it would just be too much chemistry to contain. It's too tempting for me to leave it off this list. I know it's unlikely, but I had to put Kevin Owens because to me, he's one of the best in the biz. He can talk on the mic almost better than anybody. He's so believable and natural as a heel or a face. Like, he could be like a, not a corny face, but he can be like a smart, not in your face baby face, if that makes sense. Like, we kind of seen him acting like a baby face recently on Raw, even. Like, when he thinks that Rollins is turning against him, he's not a dumb face. He's like, oh no, you're going to try to gang up on me 3-1. I'm not falling for your stuff. And so it's kind of like he's the face in the whole situation. And he would just be such a great element for the AEW roster and a big name too. So that's one of my dream picks, but I know it's probably not gonna happen, but a girl can dream, okay?
Definitely. I think he would then slide straight into the top of the roster as well. I think he'd be an awesome challenger for Chris Jericho for the title. I mean, we get kind of like a repeat of the Festival of Friendship era of their relationship. He's like you said, he's probably the most unlikely to leave. I think he's signed a very, very long contract with the company, and he seems to be quite happy there, even though he's not kind of getting the push that he maybe should. But he's getting to go down back to NXT, where obviously he had so much fun down there. But yeah, Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho too, that would be absolutely amazing. So That's another great pick. Going on to my third pick for my Mount Rushmore, this is another one that I went with. The Jordynne Grace one was kind of like a personal one, but the Marty Scurll one was kind of an obvious one, one that I think is going to happen. And this one is another one that I think will eventually happen. I'm going with The Revival. I think there's just too much smoke for them to to not be going to AEW at some point. We've had obviously with being deleted the FTR, and there's just been so much linking them to going to AEW. They've had their issues with their WWE contract and the fact that they got the contracts extended due to injuries. They kind of being jobbed out and then given a bit of a push and then being jobbed out again. So I can see how they're frustrated with their time in WWE. And again, I think that tag division in AEW, whilst it is a really good division, and I think that someone like the Revival could only add to that and add a legitimacy to it, a hard battling style over like the lot of the high flying like maneuvers that a lot of the tag teams have got there. So I think they'd fit in really well with AEW. So yeah, I'm gonna go with the Revival.
That is a wonderful pick, and I'll spoil the end of my list. The only reason they are not my final pick on the WWE side is because I am pretty confident that they are going to sign. So I picked more like dream unlikely picks. Mm-hmm. I left the Revival off because I think they are going to go to AEW. And so I'm really excited if it truly does happen. And if it doesn't happen, it's a huge missed opportunity for AEW. EW because and honestly for the Revival too, because the Revival would have a chance to shine. WWE, one of their weakest points is their tag division in terms of the way they present it, not the people on the roster. It's never been a strong point for them. They've never really pushed that division as much as other, you know, parts of their roster, like obviously men's singles wrestlers. Those are the most valued in the whole company. It's not tag team wrestling to them isn't as prestigious as it is in AEW. Of course, that makes sense because two of your founders of the company are tag team wrestlers. So why wouldn't they value and really, really want to elevate tag team wrestling? So I think the Revival would just shine in AEW. The matchups are incredible. And like you said, there's so much linking, specifically the Young Bucks, with the Revival, that it would be a shame not to see that play out eventually on TV. You know, that would be incredible. And once we do get the match, imagine just the people that will be invested in it because they've been waiting for it for so long.
Exactly. And one of our mutuals, Chris Spizak, I think he would definitely become an AEW fan straight away.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Kelsey, you mentioned that the Revival didn't make your Mount Rushmore list of WWE ones because you went with dream picks. Who rounds off your WWE list?
I think this would be so incredible. I know, again, like all my other picks, they're unlikely, but Candice LeRae. And she just signed, so it would never happen anytime soon. And, of course, her husband does wrestle there as well, Johnny Gargano. So it would be hard for her to leave. But she was incredible when she would tag with Joey. And, you know, they just had such a great chemistry. But even if she wasn't, because, you know, Joey's not in AEW, even if he wasn't in AEW when she signed, she would be a pillar for the women's division in AEW. The Bucks used to always be asked in almost every interview they did, like a couple of years ago, they would get asked, so who would you add to the Bullet Club if you could add a woman member? And they would always say, the answer never changed, it would always be Candice LeRae. And it's because they had that amazing match with her in PWG, the Guerrilla Warfare match against her and Joey, and they basically super kicked her with a boot filled with thumbtacks, and her face was all bloodied up. And it was a great visual, and it actually did really great things for the Young Bucks. Like, that image went viral, and it was kind of controversial because at the time, you know, you got male wrestlers kicking a woman wrestler in the face. She's all bloodied up. People didn't know how to feel about it. But Candice, she went all in. She wanted to do it. She was really proud of it, actually. Right before War Games, she tweeted out, "These women don't know what they're in for." And she posted a picture of her match where she was tagging with Joey, her holding up the title and blood all over her face. And then she posted a picture, like, I guess it was with her and some other people from NXT, but she said, "Guerrilla Warfare to War Games. They don't know what they're in for." So I just think, like, she obviously thinks of that time and that match as a really important, special time. And I know that the Bucks would book her insanely well, and she would really add to the women's division. She would do great things for them.
Yeah, and looking at her work as part of the world's cutest tag team, and then comparing it to her NXT work, it's like you're looking at two different wrestlers, because it's NXT just have not used Candice LeRae to her talents yet whatsoever. She's literally looks like she's just Mrs. Johnny Wrestling, which is sad, because she's an absolutely amazing worker, and the fact that she will go all out, like you said, she has absolutely no problem with fighting men. She's absolutely no problem with getting all bloodied up. That would be a great pick, and we've seen that in AEW that they're not afraid to have these kind of like brutal style matches. I mean, we've seen the Moxley and Kenny Omega unsanctioned match, and I think Candice would fit perfectly in with that kind of style.
I mean, she wrestled that style so long on the indies. That's the thing. Like, she's just so perfect for that type of style. Not just, like, hardcore. I'm talking about, like you mentioned, she'll wrestle men. She could wrestle any man on the AEW roster and shine. Hell, she could wrestle anybody in NXT, man or woman, and shine. But like you said, she hasn't really been used as prominently as I would like to see. And I really dislike her just kind of being known as Johnny's wife. Yeah. Because, Johnny is awesome, and they're an awesome wrestling power couple, and I do like wrestling couples because I think it's really cool and fun and unique when you've got two people who are so awesome together and apart. I think, why not, you could showcase that off screen and out of the ring, like on Twitter or on social media or behind the scenes stuff. But when it comes to in-ring, let the person shine individually. Like, Candice could do anything. I'm thinking, though, that it's just going to take time. They know what a great get Candice is, so I think they'd be remiss if they didn't start using her the way she should be used. And we're kind of seeing it now. I mean, she's over as hell. War Games, she really got a good reception. She started the match off with Io. Io is super over, too. So I think it's just going to take a little bit of time, but I think she'll get there in NXT. But if AEW could steal her away in the future, that'd be so good for them.
Yeah, and then we've kind of seen that in NXT, where they don't rush to push these signings. I mean, we've seen with Keith Lee, for instance, that he was in NXT for quite a while and was literally just in the mid card before getting this like huge push that he's been getting. The same with the likes of Punishment Martinez. He was only on the show sparingly, and now he's getting a really big push. The same with Dominik Dijakovic. So they're not afraid to just keep these wrestlers like just bubbling over before giving them that push, and hopefully we will see that for Candice LeRae. Otherwise, it would be a waste of a monumental talent.
Perfectly said. Totally agree. Yeah, they're doing a really good job. We're seeing it start to pay off with Keith Lee now, and I really do truly have faith. They know what they have with Candice, so I'm hoping it'll get there soon, one day.
So, Kelsey, round off your non-WWE Mount Rushmore of potential AEW signings.
I'm really excited about this pick because I actually just watched a behind-the-scenes documentary about him, Sami Callihan. He's always been a favorite of mine, and it sucks because I don't really get to watch Impact Wrestling that much, which is funny because 3 out of 4 of my non-WWE picks are from Impact.
You've raided that roster.
Yeah, I have. But it's like they've got so many good wrestlers that I think would do so well in AEW. And I really wish, even if they didn't go to AEW, doesn't matter, I wish I watched more of them. That includes, like I said, Tessa Jordan and Sammy. So many great matches between the three of them. But specifically why I chose Sami Callihan is because he's a great talker. He's really a different type of heel in that I think on screen you can truly hate him when he's in the ring. When he's out of the ring, he's kind of likable, actually. Like this backstage documentary that I just watched with him preparing for his Bound for Glory match against Brian Cage, it was incredible. Like, he is so likable off screen, like off out of ring, if you're just watching him behind the scenes. But in the ring, he can be like so hateable, but in a good way. Like, I'll compare him to somebody else who's a good heel for AEW right now, MJF. And MJF is amazing on the mic. But the thing I think about MJF is he'll always be a cool heel. Even though he does his best to always stay in character and to be like mean to everybody, I think he's just so good at what he does that you can't help but to like him secretly. Like, I have never booed MJF. I mean, hell, I was right in front of him. He called me four eyes, said all my questions were garbage. I slapped him with a piece of paper, but afterwards I was like, oh my God, that was so cool. I love MJF. Like, I wasn't really thinking anything bad about him, and I never booed him even when he turned on Cody. To me, I was just like, oh my God, he's so good at being bad. That's all I thought. So to me, Sami Callihan's somebody who he's more hateable. In a good way. Like, you see him doing despicable things in the ring, and you're like, oh, I flippin' hate him. Even though he's kind of been likable a little bit in the ring as well. Like, when he paid respect to Tessa Blanchard after one of their matches, it was a couple of months ago. I can't remember what match it was, what show it was on. But that kind of made him a little bit likable. So sometimes he can go in between being like a super heel to being not as heelish. But overall, I think he could be a better heel for the company even than MJF. And I'm not trying to take anything away from MJF. I'm just saying Sammy can be despicable, and I think that's a good thing. And him and Chris Jericho get along really well. Like, Sami Callihan had a great interview on Talk is Jericho like a year ago. I just think that chemistry, they could do something together, maybe a program together if he went to AEW. I mean, hell, if Marty ends up going to AEW, Sammy and Marty Scurll actually had a match on the Chris Jericho Cruise last year, and it was awesome. And we could see that on AEW's roster if Sammy decides to ever leave if he decides to ever leave Impact. But I don't think that's likely, but I think it would be great for AEW.
Yeah, the thing that I respect about Sami Callihan is, I mean, going all the way through the points that you just made, absolutely agree with every single one of them, but it's the fact that he did what Cody did. He bet on himself. He knew he had a place in NXT, but he wasn't happy with the way that he felt that he was getting pushed. And he left, and he bet on himself. He left a paycheck to go and be the wrestler that he knew he would be. And it took him quite a while to find himself. And since he's been the draw, he's the character work is absolutely spot on. He's put so many more eyes onto Impact Wrestling. It's unreal. I mean, before he really started taking the lead there, Impact was a company that was dead in the water. I mean, we've said that Impact's been dead in the water for many years, but I think it was the closest that it was coming to folding. And Sammy and the likes of OVE and Tessa have really brought that company back from the brink almost. And the fact that he can take like issues that have happened in his wrestling matches. I mean, for instance, the baseball bat incident, and he ran with it. Anyone else would have been all apologetic, but he ran with it, like, and he really like solidified his character work with that. And yeah, I absolutely agree. I think he would fit in perfectly with that AEW roster.
I mean, you just hit the nail on the head perfectly. Everything you said so true, because Sammy, I love that he bet on himself. I love that he knew he could be more. And like, there's something about when a wrestler knows that they can do more and they're not happy with just the status quo, to me, that's like so respectable. It makes me like them like 100% more. So like him going off and doing his own thing, just like Cody did, it makes him that much more likable to me personally. It's just a thing that kind of draws me into a wrestler and really makes me invest in them even more. And yeah, I know I have three picks from Impact, and that would destroy Impact. Like you said, these three picks on my non-WWE Mount Rushmore AEW potential signings, it would pretty much cripple Impact, because I feel like Sammy and Tessa especially are really big parts of Impact, like you said, still surviving right now. In fact, not only just surviving, but kind of thriving. I think they're in a really good place right now. And if you look at just even 6 or 7 months ago, they were in a terrible place. I mean, hell, if we're really talking about a company that's in a bad place, Ring of Honor needs to sign some people who can be what Sammy and Tessa have been for Impact, but for them. That's what Ring of Honor really needs, some big signings that are names, but that can do something for that company.
Yeah, I mean, going on to Ring of Honor, I think that company is, it feels like it's almost rotten at the core rather than the talent. I think they've got some amazing talent over there. It's just the way that the people in the back are treating the company and treating the wrestlers it needs some fundamental changes in that company for it to recover from some of the things that's going on there.
Yeah, I think they really need to shake this negative cloud that's surrounding them, and they've got to do whatever it takes, whether that takes management changes or booking changes, whatever it is, they've got to start making any kind of changes, and soon, because the negative perception is the strongest I've ever seen surrounding Ring of Honor. It's never been like this, and to me, it's like they're almost at the low point that Impact was at. But again, like I said, the reason Sammy's on my list is because he's such a big player and he was such a great star that he was able to help raise up Impact and save them from failing. I think he's a big part of that. So AEW would be lucky to have him, and Ring of Honor needs to find somebody similar to a Sammy so they could be raised up too.
Yeah, absolutely agree. So I will round off my Mount Rushmore now. And I said that some of mine were personal picks. This pick I do not think will end up in AEW in the near future, but the reason I've picked it is because when I got back into wrestling, it was because of New Japan. And back then, in like 2015, 2016, New Japan had a really strong tag division. We had the likes of Killer Elite Squad, and we had Evil and Sonata really making big moves. But the team I've actually gone for is Gorillas of Destiny. I absolutely love Tama Tonga. I absolutely love Tangaloa. And I think with the history that they've got with the Elite and some of the guys at AEW, I think they will be a perfect fit in that company. And the reason I've gone with them is because I don't think New Japan are focusing on their tag division enough. And I think that the likes of Gorillas of Destiny are being absolutely wasted over there. I mean, I can't think of another tag team in there that's even worth the time of Gorillas of Destiny in New Japan. I mean, the most impressive matches they've had recently is with the likes of the Briscoes, which is a Ring of Honor tag team, which it's kind of sad, really, because New Japan used to be a really good for tag team wrestling. I mean, every show that they put on has tag team wrestling building up to like the main events, and it's weird that a company like that doesn't focus on actual tag teams rather than like wrestlers just thrown together to make up a tag match. So yeah, I think I'd like to see the Gorillas of Destiny going into AEW, and I think they would bring a cool factor to the AEW tag division. And who wouldn't want to see the Bucks versus the Gorillas of Destiny again?
Oh, I'd see that any day of the week. I always loved when they matched up or had any kind of interaction, because there was a lot of interaction between them all. And, you know, the thing is, I almost put Gorillas of Destiny on my non-WWE list, but I put the Briscoes instead. But yeah, they had specifically God and the Briscoes. They had amazing matches. I was actually ringside for some of them, not ringside, but I was there, not that far away from the ring, and I got to see it in person, and they're incredible. Just the chemistry that the Briscoes and GOD have together is awesome. And yeah, just like the Briscoes would make a great addition, there's no doubt to me that Gorillas of Destiny would. Like you said, New Japan, it's weird right now. I think it's the lowest their tag division's ever been, because it just feels like it's an afterthought. Like you said, it's not getting a lot of focus, and it's like, you know, there's Sho and Yo, and then there's Gorillas of Destiny, and it feels like everyone else is not really a tag team there. So their division really, it's so light right now. And I don't know if it's because, you know, the Bucks left, and so, and then it just kind of started to fall apart from there. But GOD versus anybody in AEW would be incredible. Yeah. And I'd pay money to see it, because, and I like how you said, my favorite thing that you said was they would bring the cool factor. AEW doesn't really have a team like Gorillas of Destiny. Like they are just so cocky, but in a likable way. And everything that Tama Tonga specifically does is so cool. The way he walks down to the ring is cool. Heck, even when he was trying to be good, you know, the good bad boy, Tama Tonga, even that stuff was gold. So there's so much you can do with Guerrillas of Destiny. I love that pick. That might be my favorite pick of yours. I really like that one. I know it's unlikely, but still, it'd be a great, great, great addition to the roster and a dream come true, honestly, because I'd love to see them match up against anybody.
Yeah, I mean, the first matchup I thought of when I picked Guerrillas of Destiny was Guerrillas of Destiny versus Proud and Powerful. I think they would be two amazing teams to go at each other.
Oh, hell yeah. That's probably, just like I said, I literally said the Briscoes versus Proud and Powerful. Guerrillas of Destiny versus Proud and Powerful would be incredible. And think about a triple threat with the three teams. Oh, my God, that would blow my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been amazing. What great Mount Rushmores we picked and so different, but yet all very, very similar kind of mindsets as well.
I love it, and I liked how we had one pick in common. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that to me though shows the amount of amazing wrestling talent that we've got today, and the fact that a lot of people on Twitter are so like angry and bitter about wrestling when we've just literally named 12 amazing talents that could potentially sign for AEW. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan, and it's just weird that people get so angry about it.
It's a wonderful time to be a fan, and I feel like the reason people are so angry is because they're taking a side, and I don't think you need to take a side. I think you can like, if you want to just like one over the other, that's cool. If you want to like it all, that's cool. There's so much variety out there. Like you mentioned, so many great wrestlers, but there's so many great companies right now. You don't have to just like one, and you don't have to bash if you don't want to. Don't bash one of them or any of them. To me, I always criticize everything fairly, and I always praise everything when they do things good. I think there's room for constructive criticism in anything you watch, and I think people can do that without getting angry. I think it's when people start criticizing as if it's a war. Like, oh man, WWE sucks and is the worst ever. Oh, AEW, those fans are so obnoxious and I hate them. Like, why have it be divisive? We're all wrestling fans, you know? Can't we just like what we like and all be united in the fact that we're just all fans of this wonderful, wonderful, basically to me, form of art? Because it's just such a great way to express yourself. It's so different than anything else out there right now. And it sucks that there are angry people out there, but I think there's a lot of happy people too. And that's what we have to take joy in, is all the different things out there right now for us to enjoy, and all the people who are enjoying it. Like, yeah, it's awesome. Let's all unite over that fact, you know?
Absolutely. And I'm sure we'll get deeper into that topic when we record While We Watch. But yeah, I totally agree with you. Over here in Britain, we don't have this Wednesday Night War because we get our AEW on Thursday, and NXT kind of usually drops on the network on Friday. So we don't have to have this like pick and choose where we have to watch one or the other. So it's interesting for me, especially to watch this kind of war going on when there's no real need to. You can watch both. Both are absolutely amazing products. Both are probably the best wrestling product that's been put out, at least in the Western Hemisphere right now. So why be angry about it? Just be grateful that we got two amazing programs on the same day.
Exactly. And the thing is, there hasn't been a week that I have skipped one of the shows. I have watched both NXT and AEW. Now, I haven't watched them both live because I physically can't. But usually now I'm doing an AEW review. But before that, I was watching, just picking and choosing randomly, like, okay, tonight will be AEW. Okay, tonight will be NXT. But I've always watched whatever one I didn't watch live afterwards. And it's been awesome. It's Wednesday night's the best night of the week now.
Yeah, definitely. And it's getting to a point where there's too much wrestling for everyone to watch, and there's too much amazing wrestling for everybody to watch. So I'd just be grateful that we've got this choice rather than like going into like the end of the Attitude Era where we had one choice and that was pretty much it.
I'm so glad that there's a lot of choices, but like you said, especially somebody who's a podcaster, it's like, oh my God, I have no time for regular TV anymore because of all the wrestling. And I'm still not watching all the wrestling I want to. Like, hell, if I had the time, I'd love to get into Stardom. I'd love to get into Progress. I'd love to get it back into Impact because I haven't watched faithfully in a long time. There's so much stuff I would love to check out, but, you know, even just WWE, AEW, NXT, and Ring of Honor, and New Japan, that takes up a lot of time right there. And even my New Japan viewing lately has been a little lax. But it's World Tag League right now. And like you said, the tag division's kind of at its weakest point, in my opinion. So I haven't paid as much attention as I usually do. But I am going to watch the final, and I am going to, of course, watch Wrestle Kingdom live, and then I think my New Japan viewing is going to amp up. But yeah, it's hard enough to keep up with those things, but wrestling is so great right now.
It definitely is. I've absolutely loved recording this episode with you, Kelsey. It's been amazing. What I would like from you now is I'd like you to come up with a topic for a future guest. What kind of Mount Rushmore are you interested in hearing about?
Oh, man, that's a good one. The funny thing is, it's, I think I know exactly which one to say. You know, Ring of Honor's in the news a lot lately. We talked about Ring of Honor. Who is the Mount Rushmore of signings that Ring of Honor can get to help the company? So, like, what wrestlers could they sign right now that could help them build back up their product and build a positive view for their show? I think that's what I'd like to hear.
That's a very interesting pick. It's kind of like the one we've literally just gone over, but I think the big difference is that instead of adding to an already amazing product, we're kind of looking to repair
exactly
a product. So yeah, that'll be a very interesting pick. Let all the listeners know, Kelsey, where they can find you on social media, where they can find your podcasting, your content on YouTube.
Well, I've had so much fun recording with you. It's been such a blast. If people want to hear more stuff of mine, more recordings, because I feel like I'm doing a lot more wrestling than I've done in a long time, a lot more content. I haven't done this much content in a long time. I'm finally getting into regular weekly videos. I've had more time recently, so it's been so enjoyable. If you want to catch those videos, go to superkickingit.com, superkickingit.com, and there's links to everything that I do. There's links to my podcast, which is called Two Face Wrestling Talk. There's links to my personal YouTube channel, and there's a link to find this new website I'm working for. It's called wrestlingnews.co. That's the website. I'm doing a lot of their video content. In fact, I'm basically in charge of their YouTube channel right now, and I'm so proud to be working with him because I think it's really hard to be a woman in wrestling media, and I'm not playing like the gender card. I'm just saying it's the truth. Like, there's a lot of guys covering wrestling, but I've been trying to do podcasting or do video content or do any kind of wrestling coverage and make any kind of decent money for like years now. I've been really working hard at it, and it's hard because I have two other jobs. So like, I never could have the amount of content release that I wanted. I always wanted to be more steady with my releases, but I always did what I could. And so now this site, I hope everyone really checks them out because the owner is so nice. He's been so upfront and upstanding, and he took a chance on me and was like, I love your style. I love what you're doing. And I think people should see what you're doing. And I want you to work for me and basically run the YouTube. And I think your content's really special. And like, that really means a lot to me that he took the chance on me. So I hope you guys will check it out. Please follow them on Twitter at Wrestling News Co. And please check them out on YouTube because that's where you could find my content that I do for them. Wrestling News Co, one word, and Co is C-O, of course. And, you know, I'm just so proud because it's really hard to make any kind of living in wrestling, and I'm far from making a full-time living, but he's been nice enough to give me a small amount per month to be able to do some more content, and it's been such a pleasure, and it's only my first week. It's hard to find a gig like that in wrestling, so please, guys, check out my work for them. It would mean a lot to me personally.
Yeah, absolutely. I can only echo those sentiments. I've been a long time listener to Kelsey's content and the Two Face Wrestling Talk. I've been a listener since absolutely day one. I love that that podcast. I love the chemistry that you and Paul have on it, and it's so good to see you move to the Wrestling News Corp and seeing the numbers that you're getting on YouTube and seeing the kind of people that you're reaching. It's absolutely amazing. And if anybody deserves to be a massive success, it is you, Kelsey. I know how hard you work. I mean, the fact that it took so long to get this podcast done is a testament to that, because you're such a hard worker and you're so positive and you're an amazing person in the community. So if you absolutely deserve all the success in the world. And guys, do enjoy Kelsey's content, I do recommend that you go to her Patreon and throw a couple of bucks a month. She does work so hard for this to put this content out for everybody, and it's absolutely amazing content. So yeah, just go to her Patreon and sign up and throw her some money. She's absolutely worth every penny.
I love you. Thank you so much. I don't even like plugging my Patreon. I actually hate it. It just feels so weird because I don't want people to think I'm ever like asking or begging for money. It's really not like, I know they say Patreon's not like that, and it's not. It's really, you believe in somebody's content, you invest in it, and also you get cool bonuses too. So thank you for plugging it for me, because I always neglect to do so. And I know it's a good thing to do, but thank you for doing it for me. You took a lot of pressure off. And you kind words also mean a lot too. I mean, you're somebody who I've always looked up to. You do so much good, like I said, in the wrestling community. Everyone loves you, and that's for a reason, because you're such a good person. And I'm so glad we finally got to connect and do this podcast. And it was so much fun. The topic was easy to talk about, and your views were so awesome. I actually agreed with a lot of them.
Oh, I fully appreciate that. I just enjoy talking to people about wrestling. And you are one of the very, very best in our community. I've always been so impressed with how positive you are. You always kind of have like a positive spin, even on some of the more negative aspects of wrestling and wrestling Twitter. You've always had that kind of the glass is half full kind of mentality, and I really do appreciate that. And I also think you've been a massive trailblazer in the fact that you are a woman and you are putting out this wrestling content, and there's so many more women coming through now. And I think a lot of that is because they've seen the likes of you have this success, and you've kind of given them the impetus and the passion to be able to go for it themselves. So I think you that can't be underestimated, the kind of effect that you've had on the wrestling community and the podcasting community as a whole.
Thank you, Darren. That means like so much. Like, I think me and like people like Kristen Ashley, like, it's just really important to put your work out there, to not be like hindered by the lack of other people, other women putting the content out there. Cause like, it can get intimidating. Like, I was the only woman covering Full Gear. I was the only woman there for the media. And I was actually really proud to be there. Like, I was like, wow, I'm like doing something. And I felt like I did a great job too. Like, I'm not tooting my own horn, because I really actually don't do that very often at all. I always think I do a terrible job on some things. But this specific thing, I was really proud of. And so it's just so cool to finally get a chance, I feel like. I was with Wrestling Inc. for a while, but I just never got a chance to do as much video content as I know I could have, or to shine on camera or to do as many interviews as I know I could have. So to me, to finally get that opportunity has been a dream come true. And everyone who takes the time to interact with me, and that includes you, all my followers, it's such a cool thing. I've never thought I would have this many friends in wrestling. When I first got into wrestling, I knew nobody who liked it, especially nobody in New Orleans. That's where I'm from. And so to find this big community, it's been the coolest part about wrestling for me. More than the cool matches, more than the awesome wrestlers I love, more than even podcasting. It's the people that I've found, like you and everyone on Twitter that I talk to all the time. That's what's really special. And that's what wrestling does. It brings people together. I know we were talking about how it divided people, but really, wrestling at its best, it brings people together. And I'm so glad I found it.
Yeah, I can only agree with that. I've always said that wrestling is so unique in that you can have an audience of 10,000 people all chanting the same thing and all wanting the same kind of result. And yeah, it's such a it's so unique in entertainment that you don't get that in anything else.
Exactly. It's a truly awesome and different and totally crazy form of art. That's what makes it so great.
Absolutely. So, guys, who had the best Mount Rushmore? Was it Kelsey? Obviously, it was Kelsey. Her picks were absolutely phenomenal. Who would be on your Mount Rushmore of the potential signings of AEW? Who would be on your Mount Rushmore of the greatest wrestlers? Let us know over here at Badlands. You can find me on Twitter at DJ Kirby. You can find my absent co-host at Rain Counter, and you can find the show at Badlands Pod. Yeah, get involved. And remember, we have one rule here. When you're formulating your Mount Rushmore, it's you can always go with your gut. You can always go with your heart, but you must always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.